Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm bringing back on John Fenech, portfolio manager and consultant. John runs Fenech Consulting, which I will post a link to below this interview. John has also offered his personal email address, as he did on our last interview, for any of you to contact him with any stocks that you have questions on, really just to start building that relationship, because it's one thing John works very closely with his subscribers and his clients to help you manage your own portfolio. John, let's start off with your portfolio. You are focused on resource investing, but unlike some of the precious metals only investors and analysts, you spread your investments around, and that's actually helped you perform in your portfolio quite well over this last, let's say, 6 to 7 months, as gold especially, but even silver has been more or less range bound. Some of your better picks, or I guess investments recently, have been in copper, palladium. What can you tell us in terms of some of the action over the last few months and your focus outside of, say, gold and silver specifically, that has helped your investors generate some gains during that time?
Sure. Thanks for having me back, Corey. So, you know, we just had our 5-year anniversary around the first of this year. I am very proud of our performance because, you know, we were heavy cash at certain times during those 5 years. And, you know, we have a lower beta than we believe GDXJ, which if you were to just look at a chart of GDXJ from even the high of 2016 to today, you're flat. I mean, it's just really frustrating for the average investor. So I want to start by saying that, to your point, we try to personalize our services, unlike a lot of our competitors that are saying, you know, one size fits all, or, hey, you need $1 million to work with us. That is not the case. We work with some small investors to get them started in the space, to get them interested, because we think this is going to be a multi-year run. And so, you know, I would encourage people to email me and, you know, just let's have a discussion and see if there's a fit there. But one of the things we do is we turned away over 100 clients last year. I mean, you know, I've worked in corporate America for 20 something years. I don't want to work with everyone at this point. I don't think I have the capacity to do that. So we are somewhat selective in terms of who we work with, because we want people to follow the alerts. You know, I mean, that's how you get the performance on the website, is if you follow the trades. So if you wanted to cherry pick some trades, that's totally fine, but you're not going to get, you might get higher, you might get lower, right? So I would say that, you know, the performance has been generated by copper predominantly. I'd say the outperformance since July, we went long Copper Bank and Copper Lake and Generation Mining, and some names that people just weren't even looking at that have decent copper exposure. And we started to see the price of copper take off, break through that 320 kind of resistance and hit 350. And just hover there in the fourth quarter and then just absolutely break out here in Q1. So, you know, over $4 copper is a big deal. This is, you know, first time in 9 years, literally yesterday, that we had this kind of a price in copper. So we think that much like what we saw in the gold juniors over the summer, where, you know, the majors and the royalty companies and the mid-tiers had already taken off and then the juniors finally caught up, we think that you're going to see that same kind of dynamic and are seeing it play out in names like Copper Lake, Copper Bank, Granite Copper, even Nevada Copper. I mean, some of these names that just, you know, have blown out share structures that aren't our first choice are, you know, catching a bid here.
So do you see still a lot of upside for these copper stocks? Because as much as copper's broken out, I still think there is still some lag from some of these other copper plays. Some have done well, but I don't know, broadly, there hasn't been that rising tide lifting all boats, I don't feel like.
Well, yeah, if clients wanted to just play it through an ETF, you could look at COPX, which is the larger and mid-cap kind of copper names. The price of copper is CPER. Those are things that we've held and traded over time. But right now, like I said, I mean, we are focusing, to your point, on the smaller names, the micro names that most people don't take the time to research, because that's where you're going to get your 2X, 3X kind of, you know, move. And Copper Bank is a great example of that, CPPKF. I mean, it's just exploded here over the last couple of months. And, you know, full disclosure, we have a position in that. So, I mean, we're very excited to see, you know, that kind of price action start to translate, you know, and drip down into the smaller names.
So Copper Bank is unique in the sense that it is more or less a mineral bank, right? It's been acquiring a lot of projects that might have been out of the money at lower prices, but as prices rise, these projects do start to present some economics. What other type of copper plays are you looking for, though?
So Copper Lake, WTCZF, I just found in my own research last summer at a penny and a half, and I wrote it up and said, this is probably worth 3 cents by the end of the year. And we were right on that. And then, you know, got a relationship form with Terry McDonald, the CEO, in December, and was intrigued that they have another location that isn't their primary, which is called Norton Lake, which is a palladium deposit. And, you know, he was saying he was getting some interest for from some investors that were pretty sizable about that. And, you know, with good reason. There's a handful, like a few dozen publicly traded small cap or micro cap palladium names. And this is sort of like a backdoor palladium play with a copper, you know, kind of name. So I like that kind of a combination. When you look at another combination like that, Generation Mining, I mean, they're going to come out with their feasibility study here any day now. I mean, probably like Friday or next week, the first week of March, or, you know, if they're not delayed. And that ticker is GENMF. And I know Jamie over there and Kerry, they're both really sharp execs. You know, Eric Sprott's got a big position in the stock. They, you know, have a relationship there with Sibanye, which I've given to your listeners before, SBSW. And I think that that to me is a much more advanced project than Copper Lake, you know, at this point. But why not buy both, right? I mean, you buy one that's doing well. If you look at Gen Mining's chart, it's a beautiful looking chart. But then Copper Lake is just starting to break out here in December on heavy volume.
What type of work do you like to see these companies, especially the more junior ones, undertaking that you think could provide those catalysts or next drivers to the share price?
That's a great question. I think I like to work with CEOs like Gianni at Copper Bank or Terry at Copper Lake that are just like sponges. They're like, hey, that's a great idea. Let me redo my presentation deck. Let me try this new type of marketing. Let me try this, try that, without spending a ton of money, right? I mean, our industry is just like overrun with bad operators, you know? So, I mean, I try to help these people with, you know, doing the deck with them or helping them with their website for free, because like I'm a shareholder, right? I want more people to be taking a look at this and saying, you know, this makes sense to me here at a penny and a half, when I was getting like a lot of question mark emails last summer from my clients, even saying, what the hell do you see in this thing? And, you know, it's like, I mean, that's the opportunity, right? It's like, if you can buy a stock at a penny and a half and it goes to 7 or 8 cents, I mean, it touched 11 cents today. So, I mean, there's a tremendous upside in some of these names because they've been dormant for a long time. And so to answer your question, you know, I try to grill people with my analyst background, Corey, to the point where I can get a little bit of a better understanding of why a stock may be suffering. With Copper Lake, it was simply Dundee had owned a lot of shares, dumped them in the fourth quarter of 2019 and ruined the chart. So if you're a technical guy, you're looking at that and saying, geez, this thing really isn't moving at all. And it's kind of boring, right? As gold and silver are taking off last year. But that's an opportunity. And so as you get to know someone like Terry, and then, oh, by the way, I asked him about the warrants and option overhang, right? Because that seemed a little bit onerous when I looked at the website. And then he just was nice enough to say, hey, look, all the directors and managers own this much, and you know, we're those shares are in tightly held hands, and we're not selling at these prices. So it's by doing the extra homework, and that's something that I do share with my alert clients for free, that I think separates us.
Now, in terms of some of these really small micro cap stocks, let's call them, if they are trading at 1 or 2 cents, how do technicals play into that? Because in all fairness, I've heard some arguments that, well, it's hard to do technical analysis on these micro caps.
It's a good point. I mean, I just look at, you know, charts all day long. And if I see something weird, like a huge dump like that, and I want to know why that happened. And it was simply like Dundee moving on from the investment. It wasn't anything negative, but it took them, you know, 6 months to really recover. And then the chart formed a long base. If you look at the chart in 2020, and then it just broke out on good volume towards the end of the year. So you have to be patient. You know, I think in this world, as we said offline, Corey, it's like an opportunity cost trade, right? It's like you can buy hydrogen stocks or lithium stocks or Bitcoin or whatever, and you can make all this money really fast, or you can just be patient with something like this that's going to do well. And so I, you know, Copper Bank, Copper Lake, these are the kind of names, Generation Mining, like that I gravitate towards, because I have, I think, somewhat of an advantage because I've got relationships with all three CEOs. I know what I'm buying. And so on down days, I don't get freaked out.
Fair enough. But what about something like Copper Bank here that has run very aggressively this year? It started out the year right around, let's say, 30 cents, around 25 cents, actually. It's trading upwards of 80 cents recently. Right now, settled in around 74 cents. Are you starting to trim some of that position?
I just started to trim a little bit here north of 60 US. It closed at 58 US here. So, you know, I think just because of what you said, it you know, versus the peer group, it has run a nice amount. But I do think that Gianni is going to continue to market the company now that he has, you know, more of an active following, you know, and he's done just a tremendous job over the last, you know, 2 to 3 months here of getting the name out. So, it's hard to know, to your point, like where to make an exit in some of these things. I mean, we're in at 12 and a half cents in July. So like, you know, to exit at 60, we're thrilled. I mean, but we're not exiting 100% because we do think it is moving higher.
Okay. Where do you see copper going to? Does your analysis even take that into consideration after this breakout?
Well, I was saying that, you know, copper was going to break $4 in 2021. I didn't think it was going to happen this quickly. I mean, we've just seen a parabolic move here, which does worry me a little bit. But that's why I'm buying stuff like Copper Lake and Granite, where if I'm wrong, who cares, right? It's like if Granite goes from 17 and a half to 16 or 15 cents, I'm not going to worry about it. If FCX, however, goes from, let's just pull that up, you know, 38 to 28, then yeah, I'm going to worry about that, right? So I'm out of FCX and some of the bigger names in favor of the smaller names. That's what we do. We rotate money in and out of different capitalizations or within the same subsector, right? So if let's say Copper Bank gets to $1 US, right? I mean, then we're up 8X. Yeah, we're going to rotate that money out and put it into something cheaper and then ride that up, hopefully, and rotate that out. So like I've said to you, your listeners, January 13th, I mean, we are one of the shops that will sell into strength. But, you know, at that point, you've made so much money that it makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough. So then in terms of outside of copper, what other sectors in the resource sector have your attention that you're taking positions in companies or you're at least seeing that upward momentum that seems to carry through?
Yep. So I do read a lot of my peer stuff. And you know, Jordan Roy Byrne was talking about silver for the last, I think, 4 to 6 weeks here that it was not going to break out. And we were taking the opposite position that it was going to break out. So, you know, silver SLV is our second largest holding. I would just give a little shout out to Sprott because I used to work there and was the number one seller of something called PSLV at the company, which is physical silver via a closed end fund. And that's how your Reddit traders are going to be able to trap, you know, if they want to do a run on silver, that's how you do it. You do it through a PSLV. You don't do it through an SLV because SLV is a manipulated paper ETF and PSLV is not, you know. So we like silver here. We don't like a lot of the silver names just yet, but we do like ones that are profitable. Like one of the ones I gave your listeners back in January was SVM at 580. Closed today at 663. You know, we said that was a core holding and it still remains a core holding. I gave your listeners AG at $12. That's trading at 1964. You know, and I mentioned that was 20% short back on January 13th and to watch that. And, you know, someone else obviously was watching that too and eliminated a lot of the short interest that had been present in the stock for quite some time. AUMN, we still like very, very much. You know, we mentioned that at 66 cents back in January, it's now at 84 and it ran all the way to, I think, $1.30 or something, but that was a flash in the pan, you know, for one day. So I would like to see some more sustained strength there. And I think we will. So I like some of the silver stocks, here. I also like palladium stocks. I wrote on palladium for Sprott, so I have a background in that and, You know, that would be some of the names we already talked about: Gen Mining, Copper Lake. You know, one that's an interesting play to look at on the royalty side that got my attention here recently is Vox. That's VOXCF, because they have about 10-11% copper exposure and they have some palladium exposure. So when you look at some of the royalty plays out there, they're heavy gold or silver or both. And you know, Vox is about 65-35 precious to non-precious. So they have a little bit more industrial exposure than the average royalty play.
All right, final question here regarding silver. It sounds like you do like some of the bigger silver miners. As you said, the silver miners attract you. What about those silver stocks that have near-term production? They're not in production now, but they are forecasting production in 6 months or even by the end of this year.
So our top holding, AUMN, just went into production at Rodeo. But the bigger story there is, to your point, like Velardania is going to go into production, in my view, earlier than the street is anticipating. So when I read analyst reports, I'm hearing 2022. I talk to Warren Rain, the CEO, every other week, and he is telling me that he is on track. You know, he's ahead at Rodeo. Rodeo shares the same mill with Velardania. So Velardania is on track to go, I'd say, third, fourth quarter, which is a monster compared to Rodeo. So I think people are missing this and that the analysts are going to be forced to raise their targets because everyone's at a buck and it's trading at 84 cents. And if Velardania comes on, I think the stock could double. So that's one. In the silver space, you know, I guess AXU was one that has been talked about now that they have their water rights and we've traded that. You know, we don't own too much of it right here. I think USAS is kind of interesting, because I really like, Darren as the CEO there, and, Dave Erfley, a good friend of mine in December, was talking that up with me when we were hanging out, and it made sense to me because, you know, they're starting to really like see all the stars align after having a pretty rough year last year.
All right. Well, John, it's interesting chatting with you. As always, I appreciate all the stocks that you share with us. Again, if you want to get in touch with John, his personal email is john.fennick@yahoo.com. I will post that below this interview. If any of you have an issue getting that email through, you can also email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will also post a link to the Fennick Consulting website, as well as a recap of his performance over the past 5 years. I find it always important and interesting to review everybody's performance. And I think it's also very important that people like you, John, post their performance. So I appreciate that. And thank you for your time, John. It's great chatting with you. I'll chat with you again in another few weeks.
Likewise, Corey. Thanks for the opportunity.